In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just as well the Gospel wasn't any longer than it was. I was trying to be a coloratura soprano there, and it didn't really come off. But among the words I sang, or tried to sing, it says, Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honour except in their own, in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. Now, prophets are not generally to be found in rather high church churches like this one. They can still be found, so we're told, amongst rather charismatic congregations, or the members of rather charismatic congregations, and I have heard such prophets stand up and in effect predict what's going to happen. Not always correctly, indeed not ever correctly, I seem to recall. And that's the way we think of a prophet. A prophet is somebody who will tell you what the future is going to be. And the first question I'd want to ask is, why can they do that? Let's assume they can. I mean, some real prophets really have done. Of course they have. Why have they been able to do that? Because, among other things, they've been able to see the underlying pattern of life. They've been able to see what life is really like and what it's about and what causes what and what results come from these causes. They've understood. It's not simply a kind of magical guessing. It is a profound understanding of what life is actually about and the way it works and so on. In other words, it's an ability to see that life has a pattern and a meaning, and that that pattern and meaning are given it by God. And that it makes sense, and that because it makes sense and because it's good, it must be adhered to. Because if you don't adhere to it, then there will be problems, because that's the way things are. God has created the universe in a particular way and with particular objects in mind. And those objects include things like love, joy, peace, goodwill, community, all of that kind of stuff. If you fight against that, then you're fighting against God, the universe, nature, and all the rest of it. But it's not always easy to realize that. And so it's important that prophets, as it were, come and remind us that the universe actually goes in a particular way, and that we have to conform to it and not it to us. And though in some ways it may seem very fierce and very uncaring and all the rest of it, nevertheless, its fundamental goal, its final goal, is love, joy, peace, and all of those things. Community, sharing, kindness, and so on. And that in order to fit in with the creation, we need to start practicing these things now. And if we don't start practicing these things now, there will be consequences. And that's why prophets are always thought of as being rather sort of, not exactly bad-tempered, but, you know, you think of something like Jeremiah getting a bit cross all the time, because they could see something. They could see people were about to walk off the cliff. And I would tell them, you're walking off the cliff, and they'd say, oh, no, it doesn't matter. A little jump will do me no harm. And clearly it will. So that's that. But we seem to have lost our prophets. Now, I'm not just talking about Mr. Madoff and what happened in Wall Street. We've lost not just our financial prophets, but we've lost also those whom we trust to tell us this. Or rather, we seem to have moved to a different group of people to tell us about what life means, what its pattern is, how you are to behave, what you should do, how you should fit in, what it all means, and so on. Now, it's just as well that Heather Brooks isn't here, because she'd start telling me off. She'd look at me, I know, as if the basilisk, you know. Because I'm going to mention science. And I'm not actually going to mention it judgmental or discriminatory way. I wouldn't dare. But I do think that that our attitude to it has brought about a very considerable change. And it works really like this. 150 years ago, modern science really just didn't exist. In the last 150 years, modern science has appeared, and it is really one of the most remarkable developments in the whole history of the human race. It explains to us and shows us the truth of things we had no idea about. We had no comprehension of the world that science has opened to us, of the truths that it has revealed to us. And it has given us a power and control over the world which we couldn't possibly have even begun to dream of 150 years or so ago. So naturally, we're very impressed. We're very impressed by this. This is now, scientists are now our prophets. They're the ones who tell us what life means, what it's about, what's going to happen. If you do this, that, or the next thing, this will happen. If you intinct, you'll die. That sort of thing. They tell us these things because they know now about viruses and bugs and things of that sort. They won't lead us astray in these respects. We trust them. And we're right to trust them. They do know more than we knew 150 years ago. They save lives. They get to the moon. They do all sorts of things. And this is enormously impressive. And I think in some ways that people have room for only one set of prophets at a time. Only one worldview at a time. And that worldview is now the scientific worldview. That's what fills people's minds. That's the way they think things go. And because of that, what we would think of as the religious worldview has been pushed to one side. It's been shown to be not as effective in these areas as the scientific worldview has been. We looked to religion to do what science does. We looked to it to heal diseases and to grow crops and do all sorts of things. Now religion has proved that science has proved it can do it a lot better. And so, not surprisingly, the pews are emptier than they used to be. Simply because people want magic very often rather than God. And they want control and power and so on, and knowledge. And these things come out of scientific textbooks these days. So we need to recognize that there is a kind of competition going on. And I think that in some ways is the challenge of our culture and our time, that we have to reconcile these two things. That we have to realize that neither one of them is to be dispensed with, and both of them actually belong together. If it's about the universe, if it's about human beings, if it's about life, then it's about God. It comes from God. All of these things come from God. God invented nuclear physics. He thought about it. He sat up there, wherever there might happen to be, and actually thought about E equals MC squared long before Einstein did. He made it happen. He designed it. God is the ultimate scientist. But because we've had a view about God that doesn't reconcile itself with that, we've split science off to a certain extent. And we've cut ourselves right down the middle, and that's not good. So here we have the need for prophets. And that need is in some ways not being met. It's being met only in part. It's not being met at a much deeper and more profound level than can be discovered in a test tube. And one of the reasons that that's the case is because with this extraordinary growth of scientific knowledge, and the fact that because of it we've been able to be a much more egalitarian and democratic society, the wealth has flowed in, we've been able to educate everybody, people have actually come to the conclusion that their opinions are as good as mine. I can't hardly imagine that, but it's true. People think this. And furthermore, because science has seemed to make religion to be an error, religious leadership now finds itself in some difficulty. If people are not at all sure they want to listen to what the bishop or the pope or the priest or the pastor has to say, because they seem to have been proved wrong in the past, and we're not sure that we want to listen to them now. And anyway, my opinion's as good as your opinion. And that's that. There was a time when I was a boy when if you were a Roman Catholic and you disagreed with the Pope, you said, well, I better leave the Roman Catholic Church. Now they say, oh, my opinion's as good as the Pope's, and I'm staying. And I think that is true. It shows a true picture of the way in which we are trying to balance the authorities that now speak to us, and the prophecy, if you like, of the way the world is. So this in some ways is our challenge, but it's our witness here to proclaim and to maintain this other knowledge. This other knowledge which is a part of the whole thing, and not to be embarrassed and not to be put down by it. It's true that people like Richard Dawkins laugh at us. I'd like to laugh at Richard Dawkins, in fact, but sometimes I do when I read what he writes. But the fact of the matter is that he's doing us a good service in some ways. He's reminding us of the completeness of the creation, of the fact that there are appropriate ways of understanding things which we haven't understood in the past. And what he needs to learn, however, is that the whole thing goes together. Science, religion, God, experimentation, nature, the whole thing is a unity. And it's time, to use one of my favourite metaphors or similes or whatever, to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.